Pradesh Mahajan is also with us because he's working on solving one of the problems that Bill's just raised. And one of the obstacles of having a hybrid reactor like this is that you need a fusion reactor that's small enough to fit inside the fission reactor and yet at the same time be sufficiently powerful to drive the nuclear train reaction. And in fact, to work in a hybrid reactor, you'd need a fusion reactor that's about five times more powerful than the ones we currently have. And what limits the power of fusion reactors at the moment is how to make an exhaust system that can cope with the extreme superheated gases that need to be vented from the reaction process. But researchers at the Institute for Fusion Studies at the University of Texas in Austin have come up with a new way of handling the exhaust. They're calling it the SuperX Diverter, and Swadesh Mahajan is here to explain how it works and partly also what the name means. Swadesh, hello.
Hi.
So tell us first of all, before we get into the SuperX Diverter, what's the structure of a fusion reactor? How does it work and what's the problem that you're trying to solve?
Typically what you have is that you have superheated plasma, as you said, and when certain conditions are satisfied, it can have enough fusion reactions to produce the much-wanted neutrons. Now, of course, you had earlier raised the question that, you know, when there is so much doubt about fusion being a reality, how could we really talk about the fusion reactors being stuck inside a fission reactor? So what one has to do is that although producing direct energy from fusion may be a very distant, maybe in very distant future, but there is another aspect of fusion, that is its ability to produce neutrons, which could go and aid in a bad fission reaction. That particular goal is well within our sight. And in fact, we are going to simply depend on that. So this particular SuperX diverter that one is talking about essentially became a necessity because we need to make a fusion reactor which produces a copious supply of neutrons, and at the same time it has to be sufficiently compact that we can lower it in and take it out of a standard fission reactor. So for that you require enormous energy densities. Not necessarily the total power is more than ITER, but the power densities are about five times more than that of ITER.
So it's going to be a material science problem, isn't it? That the demands you're placing on the reactor infrastructure are far and away beyond what the materials we have today are capable of delivering.
You said it absolutely correctly. So what we are going to do is to develop a scheme so that we do not depend on wonder materials. We are going to just learn to live with the materials that we have. So then the important thing was that a better confined plasma has to have a better configuration of magnetic field outside the plasma which connects us to the external world. And the external world means walls. And the diverter is a special wall which is so designed that the hot plasma goes and finds resting place there. And if we use the standard diverter which, for instance, ITER uses, then, of course, it will be far too inadequate in being able to handle the enormous heat and particle fluxes which a high-power density compact machine will produce.
So basically, just to sort of translate a little bit, so at the moment a fusion reactor has got the fuel in the centre of the reaction vessel at very high temperature, 100 million degrees or more, This is being held in situ by very powerful magnetic fields. It's going to produce exhaust gases which have got to be vented. At the moment, trying to vent those through existing materials, the demands are too high for those materials, so you've come up with this very clever way of taking the exhaust in a sort of circuitous route around the wall of the containment vessel so that it loses some of its heat into that wall, bringing it down to a temperature that the materials can handle.
Right. In the process of its transport from the main plasma to the wall, we do two things on it. We make it travel very long distances along the magnetic lines so that they lose a fair amount of their energy in this process. And furthermore, we do what's called flux expansion so that they expand in area so that the impact on a square meter of the wall material becomes considerably less, in this case, which is confirmed by state-of-the-art codes, by a factor of five less. So therefore, we just cross the threshold so that a powerful fusion module, which is replaceable, which can be taken in and out of a fission reactor, can actually be thought of as a near-term possibility.
So it's looking like it's genuinely real. And just to finally finish off, Swadesh, what do you think is the ultimate benefit of moving into the fusion regime rather than just doing nuclear fission like we do at the moment?
Actually, I would say that what we have right now is an intermediate regime where fusion and fission are cooperating. In order to make them cooperate, one has to work very hard because these two are extremely complicated technologies, and the progeny, to be beautiful, you have to work extremely hard to get it there. And I believe that with the Super X diverter, such possibilities have come into existence. Now, I believe that within the next 15 to 20 years, a real hybrid can be actually put together if there is sufficient amount of funding and interest. And once you have that, I can imagine an era of nuclear energy which is quite green and quite abundant. And in fact, the fuel for this is produced in a reasonably proliferation-resistant manner, much more proliferation-resistant than, for instance, centrifugation.
Which is the perfect place to stop, because, of course, we're going to be talking to David Warman in just a second, who's been to the Trinity site where the first nuclear bomb was detonated. Swadesh, thank you very much. That's Swadesh Mahajan, who's from the University of Texas, and Austin, Sarah.
And of course, nuclear fusion is also the process that powers the sun. And if you'd like to find out a bit more about the process of how stars like the sun form in the first place and then kickstart their own fusion reactions, the Open University have a webpage explaining the process. To find it, go to thenakedscientist.com and follow the links from the front page to the Open University's Making Stars page.
From protons to photons and gluons to muons, the Naked Scientists. Science that's fundamentally more fun.